Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And a good Tuesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a good start to your day. The gang is back together today. Darren McFarland, that's me, down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick is back in the saddle over in East Nashville. Chase McCabe out on the west side in Bellevue, and Marquise Munson back at our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by Rumble On. .com. Willie was off yesterday, and it was because one young Mahoney Donick was pitching quite the gym yesterday. Do tell.
Well, we had a fun day. It was a good weekend. We got to play some games at a great park at Jim Warren Park out in Franklin, and we were fortunate enough to get all the way through the tournament and win. So I was off yesterday, and I got a chance to watch my son pitch, so that was fun. And there was some great drama in the final. Our team was able to beat a team from the D.C., Northern Virginia area, 2-1 in 8 innings. It was just a great baseball game. You know, every pitch and out was tight. There was, you know, chances for both teams with guys on base and big strikeouts, big defensive plays. So it was the right day to take off to be able to watch that. So that was good stuff.
And so you won 2-1 in 8 innings, and Mahoney had the winning run. He had the single that scored the winning run. Is that right?
Yeah, he led off. The game went to extra innings, and he led off the 8th inning and got an infield single, which is funny. He is not known for his speed. He's got a lot of good strengths, but he really picked it up. He legged out an infield hit. It was hit at the deep short. The guy made a really nice play, had a super long throw, and he just beat it, and then came around to score the winning run, which ended the tournament. That's always a fun thing. You know, you come across and score, and the celebration happens at home plate. You know, I don't know if they did social distancing on that one. It was pretty dramatic.
Yeah, it's hard to tell kids to social distance in those moments.
Have you learned that the hard way?
Yeah. Now, in all seriousness, this is a true story. When we left the weekend, there was a big tournament up. It was in Donelson. Okay, they had a 27 team tournament at 8U at our level, and so one of the kids, because we shut it down for last week. We shut it down for the week. There was a bunch of us going on vacation, and so I just said, "Hey, half the team is going to be out of town. We'll just shut it down for the week. Everybody take the week off and enjoy it." Well, one of the kids and families on our team, in kind of the same situation as us, mom, dad, and Jackson, who's been with us the last two seasons. It's just the three of them, just like our family dynamic. And they come the furthest. They live out in Wilson County. And so there's a bunch of teams, some good teams out in Wilson County, but they're playing with us. And so they know all those teams. And they've had a kid for one of the teams go down with a thumb injury, and they asked if Jackson, if we're not playing, if he could fill in for them, because they were going to be in that tournament. And you know, his parents reached out and said, "Are you okay with that?" I said, "Absolutely." You know, I mean, he get work in, he's going to be playing games, and well, you know, we're going to be shut down, so great, go have at it. Well, the first tournament that we were in, just to kind of set the scene, this team, we're talking about Rage. They're in the AAA bracket with us. They were the lowest seed in the AAA bracket. They won 4 games on Sunday. Willie's probably seen all this, and there's probably a lot of people listening that are familiar with how this works. You know, teams get hot, and you've probably witnessed that team that got smoking hot on Sunday and just ran through a tournament and won it. Like I said, they were the lowest seed, not the highest seed. They were the lowest seed in the AAA bracket, which is the highest bracket, and they won 4 games in one and all. And the two teams that we lost to, which were the 1 and the 2 seeds, they beat them both. And so it's that team. And so they had just come off this unbelievable victory in the last tournament that we were in AAA, got the rings, the trophies, the whole thing. And so they were in this big 27-team tournament, but they went into AAA on Sunday as the – or they went in to the AAA tournament and they played this team. And I guess the fields were a little bit smaller. That's not true. They're just – this kid for them hit one over the fence. Now, this is 8U. Now, Willie, I don't know if you ever saw 8U hit the ball over the fence. It's a pretty rare thing. Has it happened? Yes, it has. You know, it's not like it's something that does not happen. We did not see one so far in any of our experience. We have not seen a kid park one over a fence. We've had them go off the fence, one hoppers off the fence, you know, but nobody over the fence. This kid hit a three-run homer, and their dugout was on the third base side, and when he rounded third, they were all out there, and they started slapping him and everything else. And the other coach protested because they're not allowed to touch him when he's still running the bases.
Oh, man.
And they called him out. And it created it created a nightmare situation. And the coach adamant about it. Like, he was the one lobbying, like, you have to call them out. You have to call them out. You have to take that run off the board. And they ended up losing that game. And it created just a nightmare situation. But that is to long story to what you said, Chase, to your comment. Can you teach, you know, kids to, so there's your answer. I mean, how do you tell 8-year old? By the way, you shouldn't have to. I mean, look, you're there. I get it. We're supposed to be doing the right thing and we're all trying. But if you've signed up for a baseball tournament, you know you're going at a risk, okay? I mean, that's part of it. By the way, it's their own team, you know? I mean, you're around them.
Sure.
So you know what you have. You know, and so they called them out, and they end up losing the game. And so
that's
brutal.
You got to let kids be kids. I understand.
I agree.
I understand we're in very different times, and I was reading a Twitter thread last night of – you know, trying to explain some things and where they're at on maybe a vaccine and that, you know, there is going to be a new normal. And I get all that. But at the same time, they're 8-year-olds. You got to let them be 8-year-olds. I mean, you have to let them enjoy that moment. And honestly, shame on the coach. Shame on that coach for protesting.
Yeah, he got.
You can't do that.
He ended up sending a long apology to the other team, but.
Oh,
you know,
great. That's like getting a letter from the league.
I know. I knew you guys were going to say that, and I totally get it. And obviously,
that's a hot button for me, by the way.
I know. And look, I got all this info. A reason I know so much is because this, you know, our family and our, you know, the kid that was on our team that played for. I mean, I got the play-by-play details of this whole thing, and it's the same thing. Obviously, nobody felt like I. At least he reflected, and it was a nice – like, they showed me the letter. I saw the email, whatever was sent, and it was well thought out, and he basically fell on the sword and said, look, I have reflected back, and I realized my actions were way out of line. I'm an adult. These are kids. I had no business doing that. You know, he said all the right things. He really did. At least he did that. I'll at least give that to him. But you're right. It doesn't change anything for the team that lost. It doesn't change anything. That kid will never get that moment back. Hopefully he will, but he'll never get that moment back, right? And
well,
so that was taken away
over
from
the fence.
Him.
I will say this. If he's hit it over the fence at 8, that means it probably won't be the last time he hits a home run. Because you're right, Darren. At that age, it is rare. I saw a couple back when my son was that age. But it is a rare thing to be able to, and it depends on the field, right? There are fields where the fence is a little shorter, a little further, whatever. But that is, especially if that was his first one, that would be sad, right? Now, he'll have a story to tell someday, right?
Yeah.
When he tells his kids and his grandchildren, hey, you want to hear a story about COVID and what we dealt with in 2020 and how we got through it? Here's all the craziness that was going on. Let me tell you a story about when I was 8 years old and hit my first home run. And they called it out. I mean, that's sad. But
well, I laughed with
yeah,
them
because
last
here's
night.
Here's
so this
the thing.
Was a COVID
coach,
rule.
This is what happens. This is a youth sports thing that we talk about all the time, right? Was the coach in the moment more concerned really about the health, or was he trying to find a way for his team to win the game? I mean, let's.
Yeah, that's my question. Was this a was he doing this because of COVID and those are the protocols in place, or was it, you know, a baseball?
I mean, it's both, really.
Obviously,
the answer is both.
Strategy.
I can't speak for him. I have no clue. Just knowing the situation and getting one side. Remember, I'm getting one side of this. You know, I mean, it's hard to believe that he was out there saying safety first, safety first, he's out, safety first.
If they made the rule, it is the rule.
And it's a tight game. And at the time it happened, I think it was a one-run game. And, you know, it changed the whole complexion of the game. And obviously, that team, it changed their whole momentum. Think about it. It went from a three-run homer to inning over. That was with two outs.
Yeah.
Inning
and
over.
As you know, Darren, until you have the third out in coach pitch, you don't have the third out. I mean, you can score five more runs, right?
Let me just tell you this. We had a game this year. We had nobody on. They had nobody on and two outs, and we gave up seven runs. And that was the difference in the game.
I've seen
we
it
lost
happen.
By two runs.
I've seen
that
it
was
happen
the
many times.
And I've told our kids, I the next practice, I said, we went over that whole inning. I was like, you realize that was the difference in the game. You dominated the game in one inning, and actually one out lost you the game. You couldn't get that one more out. It lost you the game. That was the difference in the game. That's how travel ball works. If you don't play to the end, you got to get that third out. They had nobody on and two outs, and they scored seven on you, and that's the reason you lost. You know, some of it they get credit for, but, you know, you got to find a way to get that another out, and that was the difference in the game, and that's sports, right? That's
sports.
How it works. It's sometimes it's tough, but I don't know. You know, my guess is in the moment – He's being a coach. He knows the rules, and he's saying, hey, they violated the rules, and that can't count. That's got to be an out, and that run can't count. And, you know, I think looking back, like, even if it is, if it's the rule, like, you can't take a home run over the fence. Remember, this is not a home run. Like, kids hit home runs inside the park, but you took a home run over the fence away from an 8-year-old. You know, like that. How do you live as an adult? Like, you can't. Yikes.
Yeah, he could not have felt good about himself on the way back from the park on that. And I'm sure that's why he wrote the letter. And it, like you said, I'm glad that he did that. You know, we all get carried away. Believe me, I think we've all had moments. If you've survived youth sports as a parent, you probably had a few moments where you're like, why did I do that? You know, why did I yell at the ump, or, you know, why did I say something stupid? Or, you know, one of the things, too, that parents always have to resist, especially if you, you know, feel like you have knowledge, you're trying to help, but, you know, trying to maybe you're yelling instructions, you know, on the soccer field or the baseball field. I find it, I was more tempted to do it when they were younger. You know, hey, keep your front shoulder in. Keep your front shoulder. Keep that front shoulder. Keep your head on it. You know, that stuff really doesn't help. It just clouds your kid's head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let the coaches do that, right? Let the coaches do it. If you got the coaches yelling one thing and you're behind the fence yelling something else, it's not good. It's not good. And believe me, it still happens when the kids get older. I found that I had to have sort of mental practice to just get away from the field if I had to, get further away, you know, or just, you know, have an electric shock system. Like if I started, my brain started to say something, I had to like shock myself. Don't say it. Don't say
it. The invisible fence, the shock collar.
I'm like, why is he? He's leading off too much. He's leading off too much. He's going to get picked off. You know, start yelling, get back. It's the instinct that we all have. It's hard, right? So, parents, we all go through this, right? And that's why we have all these wacky stories of stuff like this, because we're human. But
I laughed with them last night, and I said, I know that it got crazy, but at least you guys didn't end up, and it wasn't a viral video. Like, hey, let's go out to Donelson, Tennessee. Look at this viral video on
the Today Show. Here's the Today Show this morning, and look
exactly
at these crazy parents.
That's what I told him. I said, good thing you guys didn't end up on Good Morning America or Today Show. I mean, at least there's that. Like, it got out of control, but it didn't go too far where it ended up being a viral video. So there's that. We come back. We're gonna head to Kansas City. This is how our show ended yesterday. Like, this happened at the end of our show yesterday. So, Marquise, I'll let you play our version of what happened at the end of the show, and then we'll kind of play another version on a national platform, and then we'll go to KC.
There is breaking news we're going to have to get to before we get out of here that literally just came on Twitter. I don't know. No, I haven't seen the protocols that are going to be in place for that. if you can do dine out, or I would assume. I mean, I would assume it would apply to everything.
Is this involving Kansas City?
It is.
Oh, yeah.
Can you believe this?
Yeah. Yes. So the Chiefs and their quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, they've agreed on a new deal. There's no terms. They've just signed over the franchise to him. So he currently owns the Chiefs.
Basically.
Oh, wow. Man. They've given him a contract extension through 2031. Let me repeat that. I didn't say 2021. I said 2031.
It's 2020 now.
It's just for those who are confused. It is 2020. They've given him a contract extension through 2031. So I guess what I'm gathering is the Chiefs are all in on Mahomes.
Yeah, they're sold. Wow.
So that was our reaction to end the show. Literally,
I love that. I was trying to answer your question. I was trying to be professional. Yeah, you could tell in my voice. I'm like, I don't care now. We got bigger things to talk about.
So you guys were talking about basically the tax-free weekend for restaurants.
There you go. That's what it was. Yes. I don't even remember.
Right. That's the problem. Like, we just punted immediately on that conversation and went to that. Now, here was yesterday on a national platform. Here's Mina Kimes and her reaction when she broke the news.
Oh, guys, the Chiefs and quarterback Patrick Mahomes just agreed to a 10-year contract. What?
Now, that beep was because she said words we're not supposed to say on television and radio. So
that's fantastic,
though. Her reaction was even a little bit more over the top. She decided to go on and say, oh, beep. Oh, my goodness. So with that being said, let's head to KC. We'll come back. We'll check in with 810. That's Sports Radio 810 WHB, Soren Petro, who does their afternoon drive show. We'll talk to Soren on the other side. Darren, Donnick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game. I always think of School of Rock when I hear this. Back here on Darren, Donnick, and Chase on this Tuesday morning, ESPN 102.5, The Game. We just played you our reaction at the very end of the show yesterday as we learned that Patrick Mahomes, in a global pandemic, is living right, man. He is living right with the largest contract and the longest extension in NFL history. And that's how we ended the show. And there you got our raw emotions, our live reaction to, holy crap, this just happened. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. With that being said, let's head to Kansas City. Soren Petro, who's the host of their afternoon drive show on Sports Radio 810 WHB, is on the line with us. He had time to digest. In fact, it was probably right as, Soren, you were going on the air. So when did you find out, and what was your initial reaction?
Yeah, we started hearing rumors. Actually, the first person, the person who broke the story was a lady working the counter at a liquor store who put a tweet out, I think Patrick Mahomes' extension is going to be done because apparently somebody from the Chiefs came in and bought a number of bottles of expensive champagne. And she said to him, well, what's this for? Is this for a Chris Jones contract? And they said, no, not for Chris Jones. So she put two and two together and said, well, if it's not Chris Jones, this has to be a Mahomes extension. That was the first thing to go out. Tim Grunhard, who works with us, put out something that said, I think there's going to be really good news very soon regarding Patrick Mahomes. And then at 1:55, so that was all happening during the 1 o'clock hour, and people started to kind of speculate as to what's going on. And then at about 1:50, 1:55, it broke that he indeed had been signed. And so, euphoria took over from there.
So this lady needs to maybe get into our business. I mean, she's got a pretty keen eye for, observing things and getting it out there. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's and then people started to say, well, wait a minute, is everybody just going to start tweeting off what, you know, she got like backlash, like, who is this gal? Turns out she was right. So now she's a, you know, she's a folk hero around town.
So we learned a little bit something. So it was not Schefty. It was not Adam Schefter who really broke the story. It was the lady at the liquor store.
That's right. That's wow. Right. That's how all stories should be broken, right?
yes. Absolutely.
Hey, it's 2020. You know, I mean, do we really shake our head and are we surprised by anything anymore? I don't think so.
No, it's 2020 and we're living in a pandemic. I heard the great PSA you guys had running there telling people to be smart during this time. And people also need a release. So the liquor store has been frequented by a lot of folks, I'm sure.
No doubt about it. I said my initial reaction just when seeing the news is, holy cow, the Kansas City Chiefs have just given Patrick Mahomes the franchise. He now owns the Chiefs. It's clearly they are all in. And when you think about what this young man has done in a short amount of time, it is pretty amazing. So you live there. You work in that market. You understand that market. And here in Nashville, we understand that market too. A lot of people listening to our show, we've been there before to Arrowhead. We know the atmosphere. They're all in on Chiefs football. This guy, I mean, are they already erecting the statue? I mean, he's going to be a Chief for life, right? I mean, this guy is going to go down as probably the greatest Chief ever. Is it too early to start saying that stuff?
No, I mean, I think that's the course he's on, right? I mean, he's had the two best years that a quarterback's had. I mean, at worst, two of the three best, right? Throw in Len Dawson's championship season, two of the four best, the Chiefs runner-up in Super Bowl I. You know, he's already caught up with you know, the championship total for the organization. He's won an MVP. He's been a Super Bowl MVP. So, no, there's no doubt he is barreling towards being the greatest player in franchise history. And I think something that's important, I mean, for people to understand is not only has he checked every box on the field, right? Not only has he been 5,000 yards, 50 touchdowns, MVP, Super Bowl MVP, come from behind wins, you know, everything you could ask a quarterback to do, he's done it. But off the field, he's done everything as well. Not in trouble, right? The worst thing you got is like somebody's got a video of him, you know, drinking a beer at a St. Louis Blues game, right? He shotgunned a beer when they put him on camera on the big screen, or catching a beer somebody threw to him during the parade and he slugged down a beer. That's the only thing. Some people said, well, I wish he wouldn't have drank that. That's literally the worst dirt on Patrick Mahomes, is that he turns out he's a 24-year-old kid, you know, that can drink a beer, right? Like, who amongst us wasn't drinking beer at age 24? And so, you know, he is, to me, being rewarded not just for his play on the field, but the fact that the franchise feels very comfortable that there is not going to be a moment where he embarrasses them. This is not Ben Roethlisberger, who had early success and was just kind of a mess for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They feel like this kid will represent the franchise very well, and you know, that there's not going to be trouble and there's not going to be tarnish that comes with it, that they are marrying themselves to a guy that's a great player but also a great representative of the franchise and the team.
Let's go back to 2017. Let's go back to that draft, because I think it's always fun to reflect knowing what we know now. So Kansas City moves up to 10. I think it was a trade with Buffalo, I believe. It doesn't really matter. But they were at 10, and they select Patrick Mahomes at 10. Now, they have a quarterback already, an Alex Smith, who they paid big bucks, and they lured him away from San Francisco. What at the time? When that happened, let's say that Monday, the reaction to the draft, right? That's what we do. You spent 4 hours talking about what the Chiefs did in the draft, and obviously you put a lot of focus on their first-round pick. What was the initial reaction at the time? Was it all in? Was it like, a little bit of a head-scratcher? Just take us back to 2017.
Yeah, you know, I was actually on the air doing our draft show that night, and, you know, this is going to sound revisionist, right? But in this town, people will know that I was big on Patrick Mahomes that whole year. He was my guy. Originally, they were talking about him being a third. I'm like, she's got to get to the second round to get this guy. And then it's like, well, I mean, you know, bottom of the first, they're sitting at pick number 27. This is probably the perfect spot. So that was the dream scenario. But really, no one believed it would happen because they hadn't drafted a quarterback in the first round since 1982. So we're sitting on the air. Tim Grunhard, who I talked about earlier, and I are on the air doing the draft show, and word comes down that the Chiefs have traded up to 10, and we literally, Reuben Foster, middle linebackers who we thought they were moving up to get, because linebacker was the premium position, and we just didn't even think it could be quarterback. And so that's actually what, at the time, everyone thought it was. And then when it was, it turns out it was Patrick Mahomes, we ran downstairs to the downstairs fridge at the office and grabbed some Coronas and popped them open on the air, because it was like celebration time. It didn't have to wait until the next day. You know, it started right at that moment, and Kansas City was all in with Patrick Mahomes. You know, at least a lot of Kansas City, I should say, were all in with Patrick Mahomes, because we were just happy that the organization was taking a shot. And we'd seen him play in the Big 12 and saw how dynamic he was. And we felt like, listen, if Andy Reid signs off on the guy, Reid plus any quarterback is going to be success. And so the Chiefs will finally have their franchise quarterback that can get a championship one in his rookie contract, the cheap contract. And so we felt like the future was big. That was, you know, I'd say three quarters of the town. But there was also a vocal minority that said the guy's going to be a turnover machine. Air raid quarterbacks don't work. You've already got a guy in Alex Smith. Why would you take this kid? And so there was a little blowback. And that debate, you know, with that group lasted for like a year. Then he took the field in 18, and he's never looked back. He's been dynamic ever since. So, you know, there was, for the most part, joy just in taking him. And it felt like, you know, you got a present, you know, in Christmas of 2017. You didn't get to open it till 2018, and everybody waited for it. But it has been a love affair with most of the town since the day he was drafted, and I would say all of the town since about the second game of 2018.
We're talking to Seren Petro, and we are talking about the Patrick Mahomes mega contract that has been agreed to. And so, Seren, I've tried to do my homework and read Bill Barnwell's piece and other people's pieces on all of the details of it, because it is, of course, so long-term, and it's got so many ramifications for how you build the rest of the roster. So in general, do you feel like it's a good deal, obviously, for Patrick Mahomes, but also gives them a chance to have the type of roster you need?
No. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, I think they've got one more year. Right? And then it's really going to change. I think, you know, they've re-signed everybody. And if Chris Jones shows up at camp and is ready to play, 20 of 22 starters are going to be back for the Chiefs. And so I think their idea is that they're going to run it back is their little catchphrase that they're going with. And I think that's the plan for right now. And I think whether they signed, you know, they were going to sign Patrick Mahomes, but with his contract or without it, they've got big cap problems coming in the very near future. You're going to see this roster really change for 2021. Right now, they've got $176 million without his contract already committed to the cap. And they've only got two running backs, two wideouts. They're going to lose one of their starting corners. They're going to lose one of their starting linebackers, two of their defensive linemen, their guard, center, guard. They aren't signed beyond this year. So there is a last hurrah for this group, and then there's going to have to be a reshuffling of the deck. It's one of the reasons why I've been told by people in the organization that they can handle a restructure or a extension of Patrick Mahomes and carry the $16 million franchise tag on Chris Jones, but that it'll be very tight to get it done. So, you know, ideally for this year, you'd like to get Chris Jones reworked. But I think if you look beyond this year, there isn't a place for Chris Jones. And I think that makes it very likely that, you know, he ends up having to play for the $16 million or gets the $16 million. And as he says, he's going to sit it out, and he's tweeting around with Le'Veon Bell about how, you know, Le'Veon Bell won ultimately, and that's going to be his approach. So they need to win and win now, because this roster is really going to take a big overhaul after the 2020 season.
My brain started hurting as I was reading, like, the year in and year out guarantees, but in a general sense, it looks like they basically have to guarantee big money a year in front of when when they actually play that season. So you could get into a deal where if he had some sort of injury that inhibited him throwing, or maybe he's not quite as mobile as he was. And I'm thinking 5, 6, 7 years down the road, where it's really hard to know what a guy's going to look like. That would appear to be the key part of the contract about midway through.
I think at that key point of the contract is when it gets renegotiated. I mean, I would
exactly.
Be stunned if this deal, if he wasn't signing amended deals at least twice before the 12 years are up. I don't think there's any chance that this framework, the way it sits, is how he's ultimately going to end up playing. I think it gives him the security, gives the Chiefs security with an uncertain salary cap, and if the cap goes down, then he's protected, and we'll get the money that he's looking for. But I think the plan will be moving forward is kind of New England Patriots style. At least it should be, right? And that is Tom Brady. Everyone talks about how, you know, in this town, the big conversation is, well, Tom Brady never took the most, because they look back at the cap numbers. And in reality, if you look at it, the dollars that were actually pocketed by Tom Brady are the same as the dollars that were pocketed by Peyton Manning. The difference was the Patriots were constantly tearing that deal up. Bob Kraft would give him the big signing bonus check, so he would take home a huge payday every 3 or 4 years, and they would get the cap relief, and they could keep the salary cap number down. I would think that that would be the plan for the Chiefs and the plan for Patrick Mahomes. This is a statement to me to say, hey, we're all in with you, and we want you here forever. And it's a statement by him saying, I'm all in with the Chiefs. I'm not playing the Dak Prescott card, and the Chiefs are saying, we're not playing the Jerry Jones card, right? We are married, and we're going to be together. But I would be really surprised if this deal didn't, you know, 4 years down, say, okay, we've torn up that deal, and we're signing a new deal, and ways to get more of the money up front and to Patrick Mahomes, and then, you know, bring that cap number down in years that they do reshuffle the deck and have the cap space. I think they'll be proactive on this deal. I might be wrong, but I'd be shocked if Patrick Mahomes signs this deal and we don't hear about contract negotiations sometime between now and 12 years from today.
We're talking to Seren Petro. He hosts the program on 810 in Kansas City. So what, you bring up Brady, and there's always going to be the, you got to bring up Tom Brady in any quarterback discussion, but we're about to find out what it looks like with Belichick and Brady separated from one another. I'm not taking anything away from what Patrick Mahomes has done in a short amount of time, but I think anybody in the NFL would tell you that Andy Reid is a quarterback whisperer. He knows how to develop quarterbacks, and he's finally a Super Bowl winning coach, as we saw last year. So at some point, if he plays out this full contract, you would assume that Andy Reid is going to hang it up. But how much of this do you think has been Andy Reid's influence on Mahomes and what he's been able to do?
You know, I think it's a lot of it. I think it's collective. I think both Andy Reid and Brett Veach deserve a lot of credit. You know, Brett Veach, the general manager now, was in the front office, and he was really the guy that is given credit for being all in on Patrick Mahomes. He started down in Lubbock scouting him and talking to coaches and doing background on him when he was a sophomore. And of course, he left after his junior year. But he really put in 2 years of going down to Lubbock because he was all in on the kid. And he was the one that sold Andy Reid and kept on Andy Reid. And Reid's told the story a couple times about how he's like, listen, you got to look at this guy. He's the best football player I've ever scouted. You know, he's our guy. He's our guy. He's our guy. And as he was rising in that draft, you know, he was the one that kept pushing him. And I remember talking to him, Brett Veach, in his office after they had made the trade. I said, listen, there's a lot on the line. You gave up a lot, you know, 2 first-round picks, a second-round pick to go up and get this guy. I said, you know, he said, listen, in the end, if we're right, it won't matter. No one will care. And that's exactly what it's been. And so, yes, I think this deal doesn't come together the way it is, this big, unless Andy Reid's there. One, Andy Reid magnifies what Patrick Mahomes brings to the table, but I think Patrick Mahomes loves playing for Andy Reid. He loves all the information and insight that he has given him, and he knows that he's in a great spot, that he's got a great offensive mind, and that he's always going to be one step ahead when it comes to the preparation, and that gives him a chance to maximize his ability. So I think Veach, there's been a relationship with Brett Veach for a long time. I think the relationship with Andy Reid has been rock solid since day one, and I think that is a big part of the reason that you know, this situation is so right for him. And I think, you know, ownership, Clark Hunt is not a dynamic owner. He's not out front. And I think that's one of the things that he likes as well. There's no competing or listening to your owner say something like you have maybe in Dallas with Jerry Jones. You know, it's always about the football team. And I think that's a really comfortable environment. And I think every part of how Andy Reid manages his players, he lets them be men. He's not over your shoulder all the time, and sometimes that can burn you with some guys that don't know how to be an adult, right? But for Patrick Mahomes, that's the right management style, and I think all those factors come together for why it's such a good fit here in Kansas City for him.
You bring up Clark Hunt, because that was going to be my next question of just the – were you surprised at all that this kind of money was being given out to a player? Has Clark Hunt ever – and I know this is an unprecedented contract, so it's really hard to have a comparison.
Sure.
But has he ever shown that he's willing to do something similar to this, as similar as you can get since he's been the owner of the Chiefs?
You know, when you don't win, fans lash out, right? Like if you get a bad meal at a restaurant, you bring the manager over and you complain. You don't know why it's bad. Is it, you know, they couldn't get quality meat in? Somebody didn't show up in the kitchen? You don't care, but you're just like, you suck, guy, right? It's your fault. And so when the Chiefs weren't winning, you know, Clark Hunt was accused of being cheap. I never thought that was fair. And really, it's kind of hard to be cheap in the NFL with a salary cap. Now, you can be cheap in your support. With what you do, with the kind of facilities and the different things that you do, the amount of scouts and that kind of thing. He's never been that. You know, the Chiefs had the highest paid defensive player in the NFL when they signed Justin Houston's contract. They had the highest paid safety in the NFL when they signed Eric Berry's contract. They had the highest paid tight end in the NFL when they signed Travis Kelce's contract. It doesn't get, you know, publicized because the Chiefs have never won, right? You learn about the teams that win championships. Everybody kind of knows how the New England Patriots do business. It's never really been known how the Chiefs do business because why bother? They were in the playoffs and out in the first game almost every time they got there, and they'd get there every 3 or 4 years. So they were a nondescript organization. But I don't think it was because Clark Hunt didn't have a passion to win. And I think he finally, you know, he tried for – listen, even hiring Scott Pioli as his general manager, Scott Pioli was 3- or 4-time executive of the year with the New England Patriots. He went out and got the most expensive GM in football. It just didn't work. It wasn't because he, you know, had a bad idea or a dumb plan. It just didn't come together. He re-racked it. He went out and got the most expensive coach that was on the market in Andy Reid. And now he's gotten the best quarterback and he's paying him. So, you know, I think it's been – he is very understated and as an owner, and I think that because of that reason, a lot of the things he does don't get as known, but I think you'll learn more about it if the Chiefs are that kind of dynasty team and you know, they get the coverage that those teams get.
Seren, last night our producer Marquis sent this to me. Mike Greenberg of ESPN put this out on Twitter. Is there a young star in any sport you would bet on for the next 10 years ahead of Patrick Mahomes? We talked about this earlier. It's a tough question to answer, and I know football contracts are different from others, but how would you answer that question?
You know, that's interesting. You know, the NBA, listen, the injury factor is one thing. It's a great question because there's so many different directions you can go with it. The injury factor is real. He had wrist surgery at Texas Tech. He's had his kneecap dislocated and a sprained ankle last year. He throws his body around in a violent sport. So, I can see a scenario. Is he going to be playing at 40? I really don't think so. Because of the way he plays, and unless he can really change his mindset and maybe this contract. I know his teammates have told him, like, get down, you know, don't be a hero. And there are times that just competitive instinct takes over. Maybe this contract will inspire him to go ahead and learn the Peyton Manning turtle, and he can, you know, be healthy back there and live up to the contract. So, I mean, I think the answer is no. I don't know that there's anybody that has, you know, when you talk about young, right, that has the combination of on and off the field, because there's a charisma to the kid, there's a charm to him, and he really does seem like the, you know, the good big brother out there, right? He's still a kid, but you know you can trust him, and he's got that kind of charm. And I think he's also got, you know, the fact that he brought this up with the Black Lives Matter movement, is, you know, he's got a black dad and a white mom. I mean, he kind of crosses to all branches of culture, right? And he's the most popular player playing the most important position in the most popular sport in America. So, no, I think he's the obvious choice. Now, Mike Trout might be able to be healthy longer. You know, Giannis, or I'm trying to think if there's an NBA guy that would fit that mold. But most of the guys that are the iconic stars in the NBA are older. So, no, I think he would have to be the guy that you would gravitate towards.
Last thing real quick. The Titans sent out something to their season ticket holders saying, hey, if you want to roll your stuff into 2021, that's fine. If you want a refund, that's fine. That's pretty unprecedented for an NFL franchise to say something like that. Usually they're not in the business of giving you your money back. How do you think this season is going to play out, like, fans-wise? And do you have reservations that they're even going to finish the season? Like, what are your, as we wrap this up, what are your thoughts on the 2020 NFL season?
Yeah, that's one of the things that's kind of sad here, because, like, there's going to be a ring ceremony and there's going to be no fans in Arrowhead. Like,
right.
What do I think it's going to be? I think at best you're going to see, you know, a tenth of capacity, 6,000-7,000 people, maybe 10,000 or 11,000 people. Listen, the way the numbers are, and I know nobody, you know, everyone's worn out about talking about the pandemic, and, you know, unfortunately, what is a medical decision has become a political topic that gets rehashed all the time. But the way the numbers are going right now, I mean, the effect of what the positive tests are right now are going to be felt in 2 to 4 weeks, right around the time training camps are going to get going, right around the time they're supposed to have the preseason. They're not canceling preseason games because they're optimistic. So I am optimistic that there's so much money on the line, both for players and ownership. It's different than college football where the kids, there's no benefit for them. There's benefit for the players. So they have an incentive to want to play. The television has an incentive to put it on TV. The owners have the incentive to make 2/3 of their revenue, which is the national TV deal. So I think we get it, but I would be stunned if there are packed stadiums. In fact, I'd be stunned if there's even any fans in the stands. I know I'm not going, right? I'm not going to go hang out and listen to people scream and yell next to me in a cold environment. So I think we'll get football. I think we'll at least get it started. And I think we're, you know, maybe 50-50 at best that we see the season finish. But I'd like to be more optimistic, right? We've been doing 4 months of sports talk with no sports in our industry. Trust me, nobody's rooting for it more than all of us in this industry, but you want an honest answer? No, I don't think you can be optimistic the way the country is handling things right now.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that, unfortunately. Soren, thanks for the visit, as always. Appreciate it. Keep up the good work in KC.
Thanks, brother. Always great being on with you guys.
All right. Soren Petro, 810 there in Kansas City, Sports Radio 810 WHB. He's the host of Afternoon Drive Show. We'll come back, wrap up the first hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hey, don't forget you can stream us from anywhere. Download the Game Nashville app. That's free and easy. You can enable Alexa Skill or Google Home and just ask it to play 102.5 The Game. Or you can live stream from our website, which is thegamenashville.com. All easy options, and it gives you the ability to listen to us anywhere in the world. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, good stuff from Soren Petro from there in Kansas City. We'll talk to Greg Wyshynski at noon today about the NHL. The hub cities have been determined. They're going to be in Canada, and they are about to unveil everything, agree upon everything, and it looks like things could get cranked up on August 1st on the hockey front. But as we talked about yesterday, just like in baseball, just like in basketball, we're probably going to start finding out here very soon of the hockey players that are just going to inform their team / organization, hey, I'm opting out. I'm going to pass. Thanks, but I'm not going to be there. I would be stunned if every single player shows up to Edmonton and Toronto, but I guess it could happen, but I would say outlook not good, and I don't think it'll be a singular player. I think it'll probably be plural, but that probably is going to happen this week.
What do you think's going to be, I guess, would be more of a surprise? You have just barely any players that opt out, or the season gets started, but then they have to stop again? Because I honestly, like, I'm concerned about that.
Oh, look, I'm just going to be I have hesitated to talk about this because I thought about it a lot when I was on vacation. And, you know, Soren, I thought, said it best, right? We've been sitting here now for close to 4 months, and anybody who does what we do, you know, we've tried to make the most of it, and we have come away with some fabulous interviews, some really good discussion, and quite honestly, there's been times when it's been fun, it's been different. But still, we want live sports, right? We want live sports to talk about. Like, we always, you know, sometimes cringe about just the summer months because it's lighter. I mean, this is like a whole different, you know, ball of wax. And so we've experienced something we've never experienced before, where virtually, for the most part, there was nothing. And then there was NASCAR and UFC, and now golf is back. And so there's a little bit trickling in. But getting back to what you just said, I'm very concerned. I really am.
Me too.
If I'm being totally honest, and it sucks to say this, and I hope I am 100% wrong, I'm concerned about any of these leagues finishing. They may all start, but I'm concerned that any of them can finish. I have
big concerns with the baseball right now. They've got some stuff to work out. The good news is, I think they're, with every passing day, you're coming to grips. Like, you have a plan, right? You're like, okay, we'll test everybody. We got this lab in Utah. We'll test every other day. We'll get the results back, and we'll keep going. The system was put in place, but you can't know if the system's going to work until you go through it.
Bingo.
Right? And that's what they're dealing with. Now, I think if you read the NHL's plan, I feel like they've got a much better chance if they can get started. And it's a big if, right? Because until they get up there in the hubs, I mean, consider that Canada's got
the
way
secure
less,
zones, Willie. The secure
way
zones.
Less cases than we do. It's not even close. I mean, and they have less people up there, but, you know, they've done a much better job of controlling the environment up there. They have way less test cases. And, like you said, you're going to have these communities, right, where if you can get started on the right foot and keep everybody in there, you have a much better chance of being able to execute that. I just don't see how baseball has got way more ways that it could go wrong, and football better be paying attention. And I think because they're going to have just as many issues because they're playing a little more straight. I think basketball and the NHL, because of the controlled environment, have a better chance. But
well, MLS too. But look at MLS.
Well, that's the thing. They got to get started. They got to get everybody down there and virus free to start. That's the key, and that's proving to be difficult.
And MLS
right?
is struggling MLS. With that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Dallas has said we're out, and you know the MVP.
No, they were
of the...
told they're out. They didn't say we're out. They were told they were out.
Okay. Well, however they got to that point, they're out. They're not going to Orlando. And the MVP of the league yesterday told his team, "I'm out."
Yeah.
You know, I mean. Look, and you're right. Look, if there's a chance for success, it's the controlled environments. Those have the best chances. There's no doubt. You're right. Baseball and football with no bubble, no hub, none of that. Boy, I think it's going to be extremely difficult. Really do. Because think about it. All these, the reason all this is happening is because they've done what? They've been out on their own, right? And look, as they're all returning, look at what I mean, we sit here and read a list every day of who's tested positive, who's out. Look at this team. You know, MLS, I feel like half of every team has tested positive. So that is going to be the struggle they're going to have daily with baseball. And in football. And I know football's once a week, but that's the problem, right? It's once a week. And so it's 6 days they're going to be somewhere else when they leave your facility. And you're hoping and praying and keeping your fingers crossed they're all doing the right things.
Yeah, but there's no guarantee. And the other part, too, and you brought this up yesterday, Darren, with baseball, is there are other factors, too, that you know, because they didn't agree on anything, and so they're still – So I think that's coming into play too, that there's there's still some disagreements and some bad blood there.
Still some red butts.
Yeah, but with all of this, and you guys made the key point of once they get to the bubble and they everybody's clean and they know everybody's clean, then they can control the environment much better. It's getting to that point, and as we're seeing with MLS, and we're soon about to see with the NBA and then the NHL. That is a lot easier said than done. So you have to ask yourself, can they get it to a controllable point, or you know, can they not? But they have to try. And I understand why.
I think you got to keep fighting. I'm with you, Chase. You got to keep fighting through it. You got to try. And I think realistically, we knew back in March and April this was going to be hard. Right? This wasn't going to be smooth sailing. This wasn't going to be everybody goes down there and starts working out and everything's fine. This was going to be very, very challenging. And I just hope they keep working at it and do everything they can. That's all you can do. There are there's some things that are ultimately just out of your control.
Yeah.
Right?
If they get to the point where all these seasons start, I mean, we got the baseball schedule yesterday and I was salivating. I was like, yeah, I mean, Willie, we're going to have some fun that first week. Mets and Braves, let's go. But if they get to that point and they play a few games and then all of a sudden you start seeing numbers just spike through the roof with the league and they have to bail, I even though there are some other things with baseball that we are, you know, aren't going to let go of, I think we'll all go, okay, they tried, and I applaud them for trying. I know why they tried, because of the financial implications. But if it doesn't work, then it doesn't work. Now, obviously, that's going to create a lot of issues. I mean, for those of us in this industry, you know, Seren was talking about that, and we've said that time and time again. I mean, this is what we do on a daily basis. You know, you guys for 4 hours, I've been doing 5 hours. I mean, it's not easy when you don't have live sports to actually talk about. So it clearly affects us too. But I mean, I do look at it as, all right, if they get started, will they finish? It's just a time will tell type thing.
Yep. And by the way, high school football, you know, all these sports.
Oh, yeah.
They
have a board meeting tomorrow.
It just stinks. It just stinks. That just feels so bad. You know, especially at the high school level, I feel bad for the kids, you know, because.
Did you keep up with that while you were gone? Because we talked a lot about that last week.
No,
with
not
the,
really.
The meetings and them trying to figure out what they're going to do. And I know there's another board meeting this week.
I have
to decide what happens.
I will say this because I've seen some stuff with our kids at practice. Like there's this shutdown, this kids, you know. Really, people are creatures of habit, like routine. We always say that about players, right? They're creatures of habit. They're, you know, they have a routine. Kids are no different, okay? They're used to a routine, and routine is good for them, okay? It is. And they may bellyache about going to school, or they may bellyache about doing this or doing that. But, you know, waking up every day whenever you want and having nothing on your schedule for the most part – It's not good.
It's not good. And Darren,
I think it negatively affects some of our kids.
Such a huge thing that goes into this decision with the TSSAA. I do think, you know, it's worth pursuing as hard as you can pursue it. I know that there's major, major issues, and they've already pushed things back. They've tried to buy some time, and I don't think it's all going to vanish by the time they want to come up. But I think that is something to consider, right, what you just said. Because these activities are so important.
The reason I know is because I've watched it affect some of our kids. I've seen them act, you know, just like I've never seen them act like this before. And I've talked to their parents, and it's like they're just as perplexed. It's, you know, they're breaking down. They're crying. I mean, these are tough kids, and it's just all this stuff has just affected them. They're just kind of a mess right now, and I think they need some normalcy. They need some structure. They need a routine. They need a schedule. And when we had all that, I saw what they were. And since they haven't had that the last 4 months, I've kind of seen how it's affected some of them negatively. And I know I want to be safe and I want everybody to do the right thing, but gosh, I fear that there's not going to be school again in the fall. And I just like, oh my gosh, what is that going to do to some of these kids? I know it's tough, and it's those decisions are extremely tough. I'm just looking at it from the kids' point, and I hope they figure out a way to safely get them back to school, but I don't know. I really don't. If I'm being honest, I don't know if there's going to be a school year. We'll come back. We'll head to Washington. That's how we'll start the second hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase. That's next.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. By American players, for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.